Amen. Why don't we just lift our hearts and hands and tell him he's worthy. He's worthy. We praise you. We worship you. Let's tell him, hallelujah, Lord, we praise you. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. You are worthy, Jesus, to receive glory and honor and power and praise. Name above all names. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Such a privilege to be in the house of the Lord, to be saved. Amen. To know the things that we know, to have experienced what we've experienced. Amen. I'd like for you to turn tonight in your scriptures to two locations in the New Testament, Romans chapter 8, and then that little book right before Revelation. It's just got one chapter, Jude. We're going to look at Jude verse 21. So, Romans chapter 8 and Jude 21. Amen. Could you stand across the building? And before we read, shake hands with two or three and tell them how glad you are that they're in the house of the Lord with you tonight. And if you purposefully skipped your spouse, go ahead and tell them to. We're going to begin reading in Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? By the way, when I read each of these things, why don't you as a congregation just answer no? Okay, let's do this again. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation?
No.
Or distress?
No.
Or persecution?
No.
Or famine?
No.
Or nakedness?
No.
Or peril?
No.
Or sword?
No.
In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature, listen, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me just put it this way. He said nothing can take us out of the love of God. Nothing can take us out of the love of God. And in juxtaposition to that, I want to read Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I want to preach tonight on stay put in the love of God. Stay put in the love of God. Father, thank you for your people tonight. I pray for your anointing of your Holy Spirit. Lord, as we sung about, we don't understand it, but your Spirit knows how to speak to hearts and lives. And I pray for those that are in particular need tonight, that by your Spirit you would touch them, Lord. By the preaching of the Word, you'd draw them close to yourself tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I won't tell you again the story, my personal story of how one night I didn't even know all the words of the song I'm about to quote, but in a time of desperate need, in the middle of the night, I heard a choir singing this song, and it played over and over all night as if surely there had been a back then it was record players. Certainly has there been a record playing in the other room just looping all night. I heard the words of the song. But I would like to read just a few verses here. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. And then the chorus said, "Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song." The first two verses of this song were actually already in a part of a Jewish poem. And for years it did not have a third verse, and many of you will remember the story. But a man suffering dementia in an insane asylum, when he died, they went into his narrow cell to take his body from the bed and put it in a coffin. And when they did, they discovered these words that became the third verse of this song. They discovered these words on his cell there in the insane asylum. Listen, beautiful poetry, but more importantly, it's true. Listen, could we with ink the ocean feel, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. I want to tell you something. That man might have been in a cell, a tiny cell in a insane asylum, but he was also somewhere else. He was in the love of God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the love of God tonight? I marvel how a man could find the love of God in the cell of an insane asylum, but he surely did. He found a place called the love of God, and nothing could take him from that. I want to share tonight what you already know, but the love of God is not just an idea. The love of God is not just a poetic expression. I believe the love of God is a place of existence. It's a realm in which we can live. I believe the love of God is an experience that comes from God Himself. You can experience the love of God. How many's ever been in the place where you experience the love of God? At an altar, in worship, alone in the car, in the back room of the house, in a desperate moment, in a desperate time. There at that place, you experienced the love of God. The love of God is His very presence, because God is love. And to be in God's presence is to be in love. I love it when John, the apostle of love, he wrote, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God." He bestowed His love upon us. And so I want to say tonight, the love of God is a place of existence, of experiencing His love towards us. I've got a little graph tonight. It's very, very simple. Amen. But if this were a circle, it got elongated as it went through the media tonight. But if this were a circle, amen, that circle represents the love of God. And if you've been born again, and if you've been saved, you've been included within this circle of the love of God. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, it's more than threadbare. It's a reality. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. If you're saved tonight, you are right in the middle of the experience of the love and the mercy and the grace and the kindness and the good of God. Even His love is a place. It's a place for the hurting. His love is a place for the tormented. His love is a place for the abused. His love is a place for the wayward. His love is a place for the one needing forgiveness. His love is the place for the hope. His love is a place for the helpless. His love is the place for the dry. His place is the place. His love is a place for the one that needs a spiritual renewal. I'm glad there's a place called the love of God. I'm telling you, the love of God can melt the most hard of hearts. The love of God can give hope to the most hopeless of hearts. The love of God can take the hazy, addicted mind and reach reach in the deepest part of that person and change him. The love of God can reach into the deepest pit of despair and bring folks out. I'm telling you what a power the love of God is. And although we live in this world of evil and darkness, in the midst of it all, we can live, we can exist in the love of God. Oh, hallelujah. Have you found yourself there tonight? I want to revisit what he said in verse 35. He asked us a question, who shall separate us from the love of God? You see, once you have found, once you have experienced, once you have known the love of God, this is what it says, nothing need keep you from staying right there. You found the love of God? Paul said, nothing can keep you. If you want to stay right there, nothing can take you out of the love of God. I know it's a fact that God never stops loving us. And you may be going through this or that difficulty, but just because you're going through that difficulty does not mean God has stopped loving you. I marveled this week as once again I was in John 11. And the scripture makes very clear and said, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary. And so he abode 2 days still in the same place, and Lazarus died. Think about that. Made it clear, Jesus loved Martha and Mary. But he abode there in the same place 2 days, and Lazarus died. It's making clear, even though folks couldn't understand, though Lazarus died and Mary and Martha lost their sister and the days were dark, it wanted us to know up front that that did not change the love that Jesus had for them. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know what you're going through, but I do know this. That does not mean that you're not in the middle of the love of God. None of these things, these difficult things in life, these crises, these dilemmas need to take us from the belief in his love. They don't have to take us from the experience of his love, the wonder of his love, and something else. They don't need to take us from the strength of his love, because his love is a strength to our souls. I have another little diagram here. Amen. Nothing can pull us out of the love of God. That's what it said. Nothing can separate us. Amen. You want to be in the love of God? You can stay right there. And no power in heaven and earth, death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, or power, or any other thing can pull the believer out of the love of God, if that's where the believer wants to live. Oh, aren't you glad for that? I said, aren't you glad for that? Who shall separate us from the love of God? And so rejoicing in that truth, let's get it, rejoicing in the truth that nothing can take us from the love of God. Now let's put Jude back up there. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Nothing can take us from his love, but keep yourselves in the love of God. You see that scripture, that wonderful promise that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God. There have been those who believe once saved, always saved. You can never lose your salvation. They quote that as a reference that you can never lose your salvation because nothing can separate you from God's love. But they're missing something. Amen. Paul said nothing can separate us from his love. But Jude said you need to realize something. Even though nothing can separate you from his love, you need to make sure you keep yourself in the love of God. Nothing can take you from the love of God, but you can leave it. You can abandon it. Nothing can drive us from the love of God, but we can walk away from his love. Amen. We can go beyond and outside that place of his love. And therefore, Jude said, keep yourself in the love of God. Another little diagram here. Nothing can take us from the love of God, but we ought to have a hold of ourselves. Amen. Every time we feel ourselves strained from the love of God, moving away from the love of God, getting outside the circle of his love, there ought to be something that we get a hold of ourselves and says, no, I remember what it was like out there, outside of his love. I don't want to be outside of his love. Come on, self. You're not not going to go anywhere. You're going to stay right here in the love of God. You're not leaving. You know what it's like. Just stay right here, self. Keep yourself in the love of God. Though nothing can separate us from the love of God, have you seen folks walk away from it? Keep yourselves in the love of God. It's like a married couple. A spouse can walk away from the love of the other. If I walk away from Sandra tonight, it's not that she doesn't love me. She's not withheld her love from me. There's no outside force that could separate us. If I wanted to stay in her love, if I walk away, it's because I left her love. And I want you to know there's been folks that have left his love, but you don't have to. Nothing can take you from it. All you need to do is say, I'm going to keep myself in the love of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The question tonight is, are you in the place that you care about the love of God? See, that's how you know you're keeping yourselves there, because you care about the love of God. It means something to you. Are you still in a place where you can experience it? Amen. Some of you, I could tell just reading the words of that song, your hearts were moved. You're still in a place where you can experience the love of God. Are you in a place where you'll do nothing to jeopardize the experience of his love? You see, that's how you keep yourself in the love of God. You refuse to jeopardize. You see, how can I jeopardize, amen, God's love and being there? Well, John said it's this way. He said, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. We jeopardize that place of love. Amen. I know that I've kept myself in his love if I'm still humbled by his loving me. How do you know you're still in that circle of his love? Because you're humbled with the fact that he loves you. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. How many can raise your hand tonight and say, I just feel humbled to think that he loves me? You know you're still within his love when you're grateful that he loves you. You can say, thank you, God. You didn't have to love me, but you did. You can know you're still within his love when you're joyful over the fact of his love. You're heart rings with spiritual joy. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's a place called the love of God, and I want to keep myself right there. There's one other thing. You see, the love of God, I know in Romans it says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. But when I say the expression love of God, that can mean either God's love for me, or it can mean my love for God. And in so many places in the New Testament, it means both. The love of God means his love for me, and that's largely what we've been sharing tonight. But it also means my love for him. And so I want to stress tonight, not only do I need to keep myself in the place where I experience his love, but I need to keep myself in the place that I have the love of God, or the love for God. Hallelujah. Don't lift a hand, but how many could lift a hand and say, I'm in that place right now that I love God. Amen. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all of thy soul, all of thy strength. Amen. Can you say, I'm in that place tonight that I love God above all things? Amen. Keep yourself in the love of God. Another little diagram here. You see, there are some circles of that didn't come out. Is it too big for the screen? Amen. Go to the next one. Maybe it'll be the next one. All right. Go back. I'll just describe it here. Amen. If the love of God is that circle that we're in, there are things that you can be in and still be in the love of God. For instance, family. Your love and involvement of your family. Can you see the overlapping circles? This is the love of God. This is the love of your family. And there's an area. Now, you see, over here, there are some folks that are really into their family, but they're not into God, so they don't have to overlap. But there are some spheres that you can live in and still be in the love of God. You can have the love for your family. Amen. And that overlaps. It can even be work. I mean, work is worship. I mean, you can work and not be in the love of God, but you can work and be in the love of God. And on we can go. There are so many things that you can still be in the love of God and be involved in that. But there are other things, next screen, that you can be involved in and not be involved in the love of God. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, that's a totally different realm of existence than the love of God. If you've got rebellion in your heart, there's no way you're in the love of God, because nothing of rebellion can be in the love. If you've got self-will in your heart, you're living in the realm of self-will. I'm going to do my own thing. You're not in the love of God. Those two things can never overlap. Amen. If lust is in your heart, you can't be in the love of God. You're living in a different realm. But I know it's your desire not to be in those things, but to be in the love of God. Amen. To live right there. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Amen. How do I know I'm not keeping myself there? I'm not spending time with God. I'm not really into the worship of the church. I'm not into the preaching of the word. Amen. I watch what I shouldn't watch. I listen to music that appeals not to my spirit, but to my flesh. I talk about inappropriate things. Amen. I become critical of things I once delighted in. That shows me that I'm not kept myself in the love of God. Oh, what a horrible existence. When to know the whole time you could be in that place of humility and joy. Hallelujah. That place of the love of God that nothing can take you from. You can only walk away from it, but nothing can take you from it. Amen. Some folks, I really don't think, mean to drift from His love. Some are young people. They're bogged down in school. They've got the pressures of the social thing. Amen. Some are building a business. They're building a life. They drift from His love. Some get involved in a relationship, and before they know it, they're no longer in the love of God. It didn't have to take them from the love of God, but they didn't keep themselves there. Amen. Some are lusting after the forbidden. Some are trying to fit into the scheme of things of the world. Some are seething in disappointment, others with discouragement, and some have just settled down and saying life is nothing but a mundane existence, and they drift from the love of God. Oh, if that happens, remember that place where God's love was made real to you and nothing mattered but the joy of His love, and say, wait a minute, self, you've drifted from the love of God. Let's get back to that place that neither angel nor demon nor death nor life nor peril nor nakedness nor trial or difficulty or temptation can take me from. Self, let's get in this love of God that will strengthen and empower and renew my soul. Keep yourself in the love of God. Would you come, music, tonight? I like to watch nature documentaries, and the other day I was watching one about animals that live high in the mountains, and it had a picture of a weasel whose coat had changed for the winter. It was white, and it had a little camera in his den. And I got to thinking about this, because I've seen dogs do this, but the older you get, the more you do it too. Not completely, but he got in that den and you could tell he was cozy. It's time to sleep, and that thing went around and around in a circle, just kept going around and trying to get the most comfortable position. Finally, he threw that tail over his head and just hunkered his head down. He is comfortable. Amen. You get older, it takes you forever to get in a comfortable position. But I was thinking, when that blizzard was blowing on the outside, that weasel had found a place of comfort. He wasn't about to leave when that storm was raging. Amen. What a comfortable place. He wasn't going anywhere. He's staying right there in the circle of that bed. Amen. Tonight, it's probably difficult for some folks to come to church, I suppose, and I understand this. When the wind is blowing, the rain is barreling down, it's dark out. I mean, just to think you could be holed up. I'm glad you didn't think of it too long, but you could be holed up in the house, a place of security, a place of safety, a place out of the wind, a place out of the rain. But I want to tell you, whatever you're going through, whatever difficulty, whatever nature it might be, there is a place called the love of God. And it's a place of security. It's a place of help. It's a place of strength. So church, I want to say, listen to me across the building. Nothing can take us from His love. But we can walk away. And so I want to say tonight, the admonition is, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Aren't you glad for that place called the love of God? Oh, this world is dark and ugly, destructive. But there is a place, the love of God. Would you stand? Hallelujah. I'm going to give a general altar call, but I pray the Spirit of the Lord would do what I can't do. And if you've been, though nothing can pull you, but you've been drifting from the love of God, that place, I want to encourage you tonight in these altars to say, look, I can't really blame this on anybody. It's just been me. But I don't like it. I don't like knowing that I'm not right in the middle of the love of God. And so I'm going to say, self, because of God's grace and mercy, I'm going to get right back into this place called the love of God. And that's where I'm going to live. Hallelujah. Would you come and fill these altars? God bless you, folks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Nothing can take you from that. You have to walk away and leave it.
So sure.